Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is brought to you in part by Tom's Place. For the finest in men's fashion, Tom's Place will suit you. Located in Toronto at 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Or visit toms-place.com. This is Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Why was the guillotine invented?
Don't lose your head over it. What the heck is a lollipop man? Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy. And this week, we scoured the internet to find out this useless information just for you.
Plus, we'll answer your questions in the mailbag segment. And in the news, he busted himself for Breaking Bad.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
A fan favorite in one of our earliest topics.
Where do expressions come from? We want to know right now.
Well, do you remember when we started the show, we said, let's come up with some topics. I think animals was the first one, then expressions was the second. And so on. You're listening to Totally Useless Information.
Did we do that in my kitchen?
No, I did that with the lady.
Oh, no, we did the sex one.
Yeah, we did the sex one in your kitchen.
Sex in the kitchen.
That's right.
Hasn't been sanitary since then.
No, it hasn't. We want to thank you very much for joining us. 72 plus countries around the world. Thank you so much. We're really thrilled. We're coming up on our fifth anniversary. And as time goes on, we'll tell you more about how we're going to celebrate it. And you're going to be part of it as well. So expression. I'm going to give you my teaser right off the bat. In North America, a crossing guard is a traffic management personnel, as they put it. It's a crossing guard, right? Help the kids cross the street. They're normally stationed at busy roadways to help, you know, the kids and pedestrians cross the street, right? However, in British, Irish, and Australian streets, they call them lollipop man or lollipop woman.
They call them lollipop man?
That's right. So now you might be wondering, why do they call him a lollipop man or a lollipop lady? Were you wondering that?
Nick, I'm wondering it right now.
Well, wonder no more, because the modified circular stop sign that they carry resembles a large lollipop.
Walking around with the lollipop. Look at the lollipop man.
Exactly.
Well, they don't have much. I do like English humor, though.
Yes.
I like this one. A sight for sore eyes.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. The writer Jonathan Swift, which best known, he had a bunch of stuff, but best known for Gulliver's Travels.
Okay.
He used the phrase in a 1970 book of collections of genteel and ingenuous conversations.
Oh.
He used the phrase that the person would be a sight for sore eyes. Uh-huh. And it became a very, very well used phrase.
I liked it a lot, very much so. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stuff. How about this? He threw the kitchen sink at it. You know, they say to throw the kitchen sink. It means you just throw everything, including the kitchen sink. Well, it means to use up one's last resource, exhausting everything one is capable of to achieve an objective. The expression derives from World War I or II, when households in the United Kingdom gave up everything they had except the kitchen sink to meet the mad demand for material, especially metal.
Everything but the kitchen sink.
Exactly.
Folks, that's a good one.
Yep.
You got to write that one down. I like this. This is cool, too. Paint the town red.
Ooh.
Now, I thought right away like the red light district or something like
that. It's not?
No, it's not. The Chicago Advance newspaper in 1897, the year Nick was born,
right.
In 1897,
yeah.
Printed a story that said the boys painted the town red with firecracker sparks on Independence Day. Okay. And people just took out that part and became a used expression to paint the town red.
I like that a lot.
That's an exciting thing to do. Let's go paint the town red.
I like it. I like it a lot. In fact, I will extend an olive branch to those people who don't really care for the show.
Extend an olive branch.
Ever wonder where the phrase extending the olive branch comes from? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, laugh, and learn here on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. It is an offer of peace, and it goes way back to the biblical times. The ancient Romans and Greek mythology also followed this. It was when a dove brought back an olive branch to Noah to signal that the flood had ended.
That's right.
Ancient Rome, the defeated used to hold up an olive branch for peace, and it stuck ever since.
Wow. I didn't think about that. There the dove go. Brings the olive branch, and he knows there's land.
Yep. There you go.
Cool. Well, sometimes I wish Nick would put a sock in it.
Some people have tried.
Talk about the king of segues. It's a British slang. We have the lollipop man. Well, we have put a sock in it. It's a British slang for shutting up, possibly thought of that they would place a sock in someone's mouth and then put tape or tie a handkerchief around it so they couldn't get the sock out to shut them up. Thus the saying, put a sock in it.
I like
Be
that.
Quiet or I'll put a sock in
put
it.
Put a sock in it. There you have it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a tall order, if you ask me. It's an expression that they're really not sure where this came from. So it was a tall order just to find out the information. But it was first in use in the late 1800s, maybe the early 1900s. The word tall has a sense of big or considerable. And order has a sense of a command or instruction. So another example of this idiom, because it's what it is, that uses tall to mean considerable or exaggerated in a tall tale. So it's a tall order, it's an exaggeration of both.
Tall order, cool. Mm,
there you go.
I like this one a lot. By and large.
Ooh.
When people say by and large, I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's a very well-used term. It's a nautical term. A lot of them are.
Yes.
It's a nautical ship term when the wind is blowing behind the ship direction of travel. So the wind is coming from behind the ship. The wind is said to be large if it's coming from behind the ship, because I guess it's full sails. It'll fill the sails.
Yes.
So if the wind is coming from behind the ship, it's known as large. If it's coming directly from behind the ship, it's known as by and large. That pushed the ship forward faster, I guess. So they would say by and large.
I thought it meant by a large, because that's usually when I go wardrobe shopping. That's by a large.
Yeah. Yeah. Your wish extra large.
Remember when they used to call it husky?
Yeah, they used to call it husky. But when I go to buy men's underwear, I relish in the fact that I say double XL, please.
Yeah, but they told you not to bring relish anymore. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Thank you very much for joining us week after week. We really do appreciate it. There are many ways for you to reach us. You go to nickandroy.com, click on Contact Us, and we'll read another entry in our mailbag section. But in the meantime, look out. Look out behind you.
Bone chilling. Blood curdling. Oh, the horror of horrors. Listen. If you dare.
She does a lovely job, but she scares me.
She's scary.
She's really scary.
Then she's yelling at the food one.
I'm sure she's a sweetheart. We don't know what she looks like. We just give her a script and she reads it and then she says.
She's hot. I think she's hot.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going first.
Go ahead.
I'm going first.
I'm shaking
in 1976.
My boots. What year? Sorry, what?
In 1976. You were around.
Yes. I went.
The movie The Omen. Multiple cast members' planes were struck by lightning after they had acted in this movie. David Seltzer and the producer Mace Newfold and the star Gregory Peck. After filming, their planes were hit by lightning. In fact, one of them didn't get on the plane that was hit by lightning and crashed, and all the passengers died. Wow. So, did it have something to do with the film? We'll never know.
Wow. My goodness. That's scary indeed. So I'm going to give you, over the next little while here, as we talk about horror here on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, the worst horror movies of all time.
Okay?
I'll give you a couple right here.
I'll let you know if I think so.
Okay, this film came out in 1992, and it was called Axum.
Never heard of it.
No, someone who asked for directions. No, that's not it.
Is it Axemen?
Axum, like axe them.
Axum.
Yeah. Ask him a question. A weekend, this is a description of one of the worst horror movies of all time. A weekend retreat at a remote cabin in the woods for a group of childhood pals turned into a terrifying fight for survival as a former friend whose family was killed years earlier comes back looking for revenge.
Yes.
Another one is Dead at the Box Office in 2005. After finding a mysterious film reel hidden in their ceiling, the well-meaning staff of a struggling movie theater assume that the film is an old B-movie preview trailer, and they would play it before a midnight screening of a timeless George A. Romero masterpiece. Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, that's George Romero. That's a great horror.
And what happens to these people after they find this reel of film? You don't want to know. It's really bad.
They get popcorn and ice cream.
That's right.
Hey, it's a horror to pay for it.
It is, yes. I'll have more coming up in the next part of this segment.
In 1976, again, that was the year, I guess, of the great horror film.
Yeah.
Sissy Spacek. Okay, do you remember the film?
I can't think of it offhand. What was it?
Carrie.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, Carrie.
Sissy Spacek, in order to keep continuity for the film Carrie, she was soaked in pig's blood for the scene at the end where the bucket of blood falls on her. And they said cut, but they couldn't come back till the next morning. She slept in the pig blood soaked gown that she was wearing because they were afraid if she took it off, it would change the continuity. So she kept it on and went to sleep in the trailer.
Wow. I bet you she slept alone.
Nick and Roy will continue with totally useless information. We're back with totally useless information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Here's some more worst horror movies. Meat Cleaver Massacre. In 1976, it was a popular year for
horror. Wow, 1976 was the year of the horror.
It was.
Meat Cleaver what?
Massacre.
Meat Cleaver Massacre.
When a professor specializing in ancient rites and rituals is attacked and his family killed by four of his students, he summons an evil spirit to hunt down the attackers and avenge his family.
I would assume that evil spirit was the meat cleaving.
That's right. Now this
the
one,
butcher.
This one came out on video in 1991. Maybe it just didn't make it to the. It was so bad it didn't even.
Yeah, it was so bad they took like 20 years to get it to it somebody was, to watch.
I think it was STV or something like straight to video.
It was more like an STD.
Yeah. All right. So this one, the name of this movie is Horror of the Hungry Humongous Hungan.
The Horror of the Hungry Humongous Hungan. A genetic scientist realizes that alliteration is the way to hurt people.
Well, as a matter of fact, genetic experiments gone wrong unleash an ancient voodoo curse that produces a masticating monster. He just kept chewing and chewing until he went blind with an appetite for terror, but it was narrated by Oscar-winning actor Jack Palance.
Really? Well, yeah. He had a great voice.
Yeah, he did. For such a crappy movie. Yeah, so he was a it was
Do you
a voodoo
remember
curse.
The scene in Batman where Jack Palance is talking to Jack Nicholson and he goes, "You're my number one. You're my number one."
Really awesome. I'll have a couple more sets of worser horror films.
Okay, well, Gunnar Hansen,
yes,
best known as the chainsaw-wielding lunatic in the film Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's right.
War, again, here's a continuity thing. Because horror films have such low budgets, they have to do everything in there. Remember we said that one of the masks in the movie was a a mask of who was
William Shatner. It was a
William Shatner mask. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, but anyway, this guy, he wore his mask and costume 12 to 16 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
For over a month was his shooting. Okay. It was 90 degree weather at the time, and they were afraid if they washed it, because if you remember, he wore this very tight fitting black suit. It didn't really even fit him, in a white shirt. And, you know, I mean, and of course, the disgusting mask that was made out of people's skin, you know. But anyway, I think they called him Leatherface in the movie. But anyway, 90 degree heat. They were afraid that if they washed the clothing, it would shrink, and it was too small to begin with. Oh. So they didn't want to. So for 90 degrees, 7 days a week, 12 to 16 hours a day, Mr. Hansen ran around in this costume sweating. Oh, my God. That must have been terrible.
Wow.
Yeah. So now sometimes it stinks to be an actor.
It does. Yeah. I get paid big money for that, man. Yeah. So here's now even more worser horror films. Mr. Jingles from 2006 on video. An innocent man was in prison for a crime he didn't commit. And he emerged.
Which is most people in prison.
That's right. According to them. He emerges from prison bent on exacting revenge on his accusers. Another one that went right to video in 2000 is called Camp Blood. Out and about on a camping trip in the woods, without a care in the world, four campers found themselves in an unknown world. With the death of their guide and the mercy of a cold-blooded killer, the trip of fun in the sun took a wrong turn suddenly. With friends slowly disappearing, so does the chance of getting out alive.
You will not get out alive.
Camp Blood.
Kill. Okay. In 1976, no, I'm joking.
No, another 76.
Actually, 1968, the classic horror film, this is one of those classics, Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
Which wasn't really scary until the end of the movie.
Right.
Mia Farrow had to eat raw chicken liver.
Oh.
Well, she had to do it multiple times because of multiple takes. The worst part is, it's not disgusting enough to eat raw chicken liver. Mia Farrow was a devout vegetarian vegan.
Oh, no.
And so for her to do this was even more disgusting. Just putting meat in her mouth would have been enough to make her vomit raw chicken liver. So her expressions when she's doing it are perfect because they're real.
Gosh.
Bum, 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 bum.
I can't think of that. Oof.
All You'll right. never get out alive.
On that note, here's one last worstest horror films. I know it's not grammatically correct. I just wanted to have some fun with
the most
these.
Worstest?
One last worstest horror films.
Okay, go ahead.
Sigma Die, 2007. At the
Let
end...
me guess. Let me guess.
Okay,
about a school fraternity. A sorority.
Okay, let's see. Let's find out. At the end of their college school year, five girls decided not to go home, but instead rent a house in town, and thus the hijinks then ensue.
You know what, though? Because they rented the house, they probably forgot most of their clothes other than very short shorts and tight-fitting cut-off T-shirts.
Right. And somehow they lost their bras along the way.
And what was the name of this film so I get to see it? No.
Sigma Die, 2007.
Sigma Die.
And finally,
when my wife sees me watching it, I'm going to die.
That's right, exactly. And finally, one of the worstest horror films, Alice in Murderland, 2010.
Oh, no.
It's Alice's birthday, and she ordered a Nick and Roy birthday message. No, it's Alice's birthday, and her sorority girlfriends, there's a sorority again, threw her a themed party. Everyone comes as their favorite sexy character from Alice in Wonderland. The Jabberwocky wasn't invited and brings murder and mayhem to the girls' night out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy today is history. What happens tomorrow is history. Yeah.
Hail to Clara. Hail to Clara.
Hail to Clara.
Do you know who Clara is? Don't you know?
No, who's Clara?
Clara is an Indian rhinoceros who everyone became obsessed with.
Hmm.
Rhinomania swept over Europe. Clara in a carriage.
That's because people were probably a little horny.
That's right. Is it the horns of a rhinoceros that are aphrodisiacs?
I believe so.
Yeah,
yes.
Ground up horns.
Do maybe you blow them or eat them?
I don't. Do you blow them? All right, three.
Ground up horns.
Maybe that's what they.
I know what you thought, Nick.
Well, I thought
blow
maybe
the
that,
old horn.
No, I thought. Maybe,
I thought you meant grinding it up, making it into little lines, and.
No, I thought maybe that's where the expression "horny" came from. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Rhinomania was swept over Europe. Clara was in a carriage drawn by 8 horses, traveled from country to country to meet her many fans. She was on tour for 17 years, and she inspired paintings and sculptures, clocks, and even a popular hairstyle. So that like the women would use ribbons or feathers to mimic the shape of Clara's horn, speaking of horns. So hail to Clara, the Indian rhinoceros who went on tour for 17 years.
Yeah, so they would mimic the horn. Did the guys try to mimic the horn, the shape of the horn?
We're not quite sure, but stay tuned for more.
Oh, my God. The tallest married couple in history, Anna Haling Swan, she was 7'11", and Marlon Bates, a Martin Bates, I believe his name was Martin Van Buren Bates.
Okay. Yeah, Van Buren. The
president.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, he was 7'9", but here's the cool part. They had a baby together.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. The baby weighed 22 pounds.
No.
22-pound baby.
Wow.
That baby came out with a driver's license.
It did. Wow.
Yeah, talk about the rhinoceros horn.
Yes.
Nick and Roy will continue with totally useless information. To access the full library of episodes, visit nickandroy.com. That's nickandroy.com.
Hi, Nick and Roy for Tom's Place. Here comes the groom. Are you looking forward to a wedding on your calendar?
If you're the lucky groom, Tom is your friend and the best man to help you dress the entire wedding party for that special day. Whether it's formal or informal, a destination wedding, traditional or contemporary, with tailored suits or classic tuxedos.
And with all the accessories, why rent a tux when it's so affordable to buy a classic that will take you to events for years to come?
Definitely do that, folks, and do it from Tom's, because buy your tuxedo, don't rent it. If you're the father of the bride or the groom or a special guest who needs an elegant new suit or tuxedo, Tom is the wedding wardrobe meister who will help you get ready for the spotlight and camera flashes of that special day.
Find out more at Tom's Place at 190 Baldwin Street in Kensington Market. No one can save you more or dress you better than their wedding specialists.
Enter to win the wonderful wedding contest at Tom's-place.com. That's Tom's-place. Tom's with an S. Tom's-place.com to win a $500 credit for your wedding party outfits.
Or visit our website, nickandroy.com, and click on the Tom's Place logo. Tom's Place will suit you. Let them show you how.
You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
The United States government, they're brilliant people, aren't they, down in the United States?
They're wonderful. Yeah. Everything they do is correct.
Well,
Stumbling, Bumbling Joe.
Listen, let me tell you right now, the United States has had a history, since we're in history, of totally useless information with Nick and Roy. Mm-hmm. The United States government once tried to induce rain by bombing clouds. Okay?
Oh, my God. I actually heard this.
Civil War... Let's find out together, shall we? Gather up, turn up your device. We'll wait. Yeah.
Okay. You like turnips?
Yes. Civil War.
You like them when you have a little ground up rhino horn?
Yes, exactly. Sprinkle all over it. Civil War General Edward Powers had noticed that it often rained in the days following a battle. Based on his anecdotal evidence, he concluded that the noise agitated the clouds and triggered precipitation. In his defense, Powers wasn't the only person to think this.
So he thought it was the noise, thus the reason why it rains in Canada all the time after Nick eats beans.
Exactly.
That'll, now, even that'll rattle the windows.
Even was that an H-bomb? Napoleon also believed this, okay? 20 years after Powers shared his hypothesis, the United States government decided to run an experiment. They armed scientists with dynamite and kites and put Powers' idea to the test. Unsurprisingly, it did not work.
Isn't that funny, though? Like, after 4th of July here in the United States, it actually does rain a lot after 4th of July.
That's right.
So that's weird. Maybe they have something. Roughly 97% of history is not recorded.
Oh.
So how is recorded over right now about 6,000 years, starting with the Chinese. And of course, cave paintings, things like that. So that's considered recorded history.
Yes.
But humans have been around for 200,000 years. So 97% of human history has not been recorded.
How do they know that? How do they know if it wasn't recorded?
They don't know. I guess if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound?
I don't know.
Does it? What came first, the chicken or the egg?
In the Wild West, frontiersmen were so sex-starved that they would wait in line just to see a pair of women's underwear.
Wait, say this again.
In the Wild West, frontiersmen were so sex-starved, they would wait in line just to see a pair of women's underwear.
Hmm. Was the woman in them?
Let's find out. The demand for sex work. Let's find out together, shall we?
That would make it a bit more interesting. Right. Depending upon, like, nowadays, that might be real interesting with all these thongs.
No, you know what it was? It was a bunch of clotheslines with clothespins and women's underwear. The demand for sex work was so high that when sex workers actually arrived in the West, they shifted the entire economy of the frontier. Towns sprung up around brothels, and sex workers, who often became wealthier than the men that they served, often provided important social services like sheltering domestic abuse victims, funding education, and even offering workers' compensation to the injured men.
Stop with the wokeness. They made it right.
They did.
Because it's women, and of course they had to make it right.
That's
because
right.
It was sex workers, folks, indentured sex workers.
Well, they were indentured. They had all of their teeth.
The one that didn't made the most money.
Boy, can she whistle.
And thus the cartoon Gumby. What are you talking about? Gumby's best friend was Pokey. Sounds like an instruction manual from IKEA.
Oh, wow. Listen, laugh, and learn. Totally use this information with Nick and Roy. Wow.
All right, back to some normality after Nick sent us on that path of degeneracy.
Yes.
Is that a word, degeneracy?
It is now an issue.
In the years before Julius Caesar invaded Britain twice, he invaded Britain in the year 55 and 54 BC. But think about this one. Before he invaded England or Britain, he spoke about what he was going to do, and most people didn't believe it because they didn't think that the British Isle, Britain, even existed.
Oh.
They couldn't see it, so they said, well, maybe it's not even there, kind of like the flat earth thing where they thought Columbus was going to fall off the edge of the earth.
That's right.
They couldn't see it. So most of the people in Rome thought that Julius Caesar had lost his mind because he was going to a place that didn't exist.
In the 1920s, there was the bizarre fad.
Started it in the 20s?
No, I didn't. I didn't start it. I was there. I was retired by then. In the 1920s, there was a bizarre fad.
Wearing the rhino horn in your pants?
No, but you're close. You're close. This bizarre fad, pole sitting, where people would climb flagpoles and sit on top of them for extended
periods. You know, it's usually me that comes up with these horrific sexual things. I'm glad you've come a long way, Nick.
No. Well, it took 5 years.
You've come a long way.
That's right. No, but there's nothing sexual about this. It was a pole sitting where people would climb the flagpoles and sit on top of them for extended periods of time. There's nothing sexual at all about that.
Nothing sexual about sitting on a pole. You know?
Yeah. The most famous pole sitter was Alvin Shipwreck Kelly, who once sat atop a flagpole for 49 days.
Yeah, once you get comfortable up there, you know, once you get it lodged just properly, you don't even move with the wind, you know.
You know what? When he farted, the flag flapped in the wind.
Yeah, could you imagine? They said, "Listen, what was his name? Shipwreck?"
Yes.
"Listen, Shipwreck, we had a little problem here, so we're gonna have to fly the flag at half mast. So hold on."
Hang on. Wrecked him. It nearly killed him.
Shipwrecked him. Yes. That was his name. Shipwrecked.
That's what it was. Yeah, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I misread that. It's Alvin Shipwrecked him Kelly.
Only on this show, folks, will you find out this stuff. Exactly. Okay, my teaser was the guillotine.
Finally. Man, I almost lost my head just
and
thinking about it.
And why was it invented? Probably for the same reason of Nick's trying to explain away sex trafficking. In the Wild West.
Yes, it was wild.
Okay, somewhere it went from people paying to see women's underwear to the whole explanation of the sex trade.
Right.
But anyway, Nick likes talking about it. So the guillotine was invented, get ready, wokesters, to create equality in execution. Only the French.
Yes.
Only the French. They invented this because they were so upset that they had people chopping heads off, and sometimes it would take 2, 3, 4 whacks with the axe. So they thought that that was a little improper, right. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they had drawn and quartered, where they would literally just slice you open and watch your innards come out.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'd attach you to 2 horses and give them a good slap and see where that went.
Yeah.
You know, or they could burn you, you know, at the stake. And the French said, you know, there's just too many things. We have too many choices. And nobody likes choices. So they created this device that would definitely chop your head off.
Guaranteed or your money back.
Yeah, guaranteed or your money back. It very rarely failed. And it was equality in execution. Mm-hmm. The guillotine.
It reminded me of the old joke. There were three people who were going to be executed by this method. And the rule was that if they pulled the rope, and it wasn't always perfect, that if it malfunctioned in any way, then the rule was that person, the prisoner, would then be set free. And so the first person said one was dumb, and the next one was dumber, and the third one was even dumber. The first dumb guy goes up there, and they ask him, do you want to go face up or face down? He says, no, I don't want to see it. I want to go face down. And so they pull the string. It doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't hit his head. He's set free. Second is a little bit dumber. He goes, no, I want to go face up. I want to see what's coming. They pull the string, and of course the guillotine does not work, and so they set him free. And the third one, when they asked him, he said, no, I don't want to go in there until they fix that thing.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. We thank you very much for listening, as we do week after week. We do really appreciate it. We say that a lot, but we mean it. You go to our website and you do many things, and one of which is, look, you go to the Nick and Roy store and you can order your friend or family member a birthday message that's unlike anything else that's out there on the market right now. It is informative. It is entertaining. That's what some of our people have told us who have received these birthday messages. And not only does the birthday recipient receive that beautiful personalized birthday message. They also get a subscription to our newsletter, as does the person who orders it. So it's a fine value. NickandRoy.com. You click on the Nick and Roy store.
Do it. Do it. In fact, my mailbag is from a woman named Harriet, who bought it for her husband, and you're going to hear about that. It is the greatest gift you will ever give to anybody. Anybody that says they have everything, or, well, I can't buy for them, they have everything, go to nickandroy.com, go on the Nick and Roy store, and you can actually listen to a sample copy of a birthday message. It is the best gift you will ever buy. It's very inexpensive.
nickandroy.com. Hey, that's where you can also send us an email.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
This is one of the nicest mailbag things that I've ever gotten. Harriet from Walden, New York. She says, thank you so much for my husband's birthday message. He really loves it. She says, in our 57 years of marriage,
wow,
I have never seen him as excited over a gift ever. She said, a few years ago, my husband started to have Alzheimer's and has gotten worse over the years. He listens to the birthday message every day for the last few months. And trust me, Nick and I have been, our families were stricken with Alzheimer's, so we know what it's like.
Yep.
And he listens to his birthday message all the time, every day for the last few months. His eyes light up every day when he listens to the birthday message, and it really does make him happy and brings him around again. And I just want to thank you so much, and I know he does as well. This is the type of response that we get from these birthday messages, folks. Thank you. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate you listening, number one. But the birthday messages is something special that we do at nickandroy.com, really. And thank you, Harriet. We really appreciate it.
Oh, that was really special indeed. My goodness. This is how powerful it is. And we don't take you for granted. We really don't. But Jimmy from Arlington, Texas wrote in and said, dear Nick and Roy, you guys are a couple of rhinestones on a stud horse.
Okay. That sounds a bit weird, but that's okay for Nick.
A couple of rhinestones and a stud horse. I don't know what that means, but, you know, what I want to know, Jimmy from Arlington, Texas writes, is when did you guys start this crazy show of yours and why? Well, Jimmy, thank you very much for your writing in. We don't know why either, but...
We don't really have much lives there.
No, we don't. Well, as a matter of fact, we teased you a little bit. So we're coming up on 5 years, the fifth anniversary of this show. And later in the year, we will have some special shows reflecting back on the 5 years of Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. We came up with it. We were best friends. Roy and I are best friends for 40 plus years. We met in high school, and we just decided to do something like this. Let's do a podcast. But we always used to try to stump each other when we worked together in Roy's dad's restaurant. And then we would try to stump each other. This is back in the 80s. So even before the podcast was even something, I would go to the library, Roy would go to the library, get these trivia books and try to stump each other. And now look at us, we're basically doing Totally Useless Information here on the show. And that's how it came to be. It's 5 years now that Roy and I have been doing this. And so far, they've told us to keep coming back. So thank you very much. Yeah, you know, and the thing is, after staring at Roy's face for so many, many episodes, as part of the fifth anniversary, Roy, what I'm going to do is I'm going to count up exactly how many facts between the 5 years of shows that we've done. We want to find out how many facts we've given you guys over the past 5 years, how many topics, and how many mailbags.
Oh, you're going to count them?
I'm going to count them. It might take me 5 years to count them, but I'm going to figure out.
But you can estimate.
I can estimate, but more or less, but it's up there, so we'll tell you. We want to tell you also, you've been listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Today we talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about sitting on poles. We talked about history, right?
Well, we talked about history. We talked about horror films. We talked about expressions. A lot of cool stuff on this show.
You know what it's time for? It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around world. This is TUI News.
A New York man inadvertently called the cops on himself when he reported a burglary at a location where he was running a secret meth lab that authorities...
A secret meth lab?
It was
Nick,
secret.
Nick, all meth labs are secret.
Well, well, according to the authorities, they compared it to the iconic show Breaking Bad.
Really? So this guy's a meth lab going.
Matthew Leshinsky, 23, of Farmingville in Long Island, he pled guilty.
He's the only guy that put a sign out that says, to the police, this is not a meth lab.
Right. Nothing to see here. Just keep going. So
it's a secret.
It's a secret. If it's a secret, why did they know about it? Well, because okay, so this is the story. So he pled guilty to unlawful manufacture of meth and other related charges.
Is there any other manufacturing of meth? Well,
I'm not sure.
Unlawful, but go ahead.
So according to the authorities, Leshinsky called 911 to report a burglary at his purported business establishment.
Oh, no.
It was Quantitative Laboratories, LLC. There's even an LLC, so he has it registered.
No, wait a second. So he had an actual, he had a corporate name.
He did.
Quantitative
Laboratories.
Quantitative Laboratories,
LLC. Okay. So when Suffolk County Police officers arrived at the scene, they found broken glass at the building's entrance. The officers also discovered what appeared to be a clandestine lab that was used to make the meth and DMT, all kinds of.
Wow, maybe he should have called the corporation Clandestine Labs LLC.
That would have been the better name.
Oh my God! So this guy's got a meth lab.
Yeah,
it gets broken into.
Yes,
he calls the cops to come help him.
Right,
with the meth lab.
Because he was operating a Breaking Bad-style drug lab. He tried to conceal it under the guise of legitimate business.
Oh, so he said, guys, come on in. No, it's not a meth lab.
It's not what it seems.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
This happened in Long Island, New York.
Long Island. Farmingville. So check this out. He inadvertently turned himself in.
So he turns himself.
No, inadvertently. He turns himself
inadvertently
in.
Inadvertently, he turns.
He reported that burglary occurred at the same business. Okay.
Oh no.
The police recovered. Check this out: $40,000 in cash, an undisclosed amount of ecstasy, over 3 ounces of meth, and 625,000 milligrams of ketamine, pure ketamine.
He's bad news. He's not breaking bad. He's breaking bad news.
Yeah. The condom, by the way, the condom was not in his wallet. He's due
back. No, it was smuggling. The guy with the kilt in the last episode.
That's right. He's due back in court for sentencing, by the way. So there you go.
He inadvertently let the cops into the meth lab.
That's right. Hey, we inadvertently, this is the end of our episode this time around, but we will definitely 100% scour the internet and check out all other sources to check out and find out totally useless information just for you.
And if that wasn't confusing enough from Nick, we want to thank everybody, 72 countries around the world. Thank you. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. And we do love bringing this show to you every single week.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Thanks for listening.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy was brought to you in part by Tom's Place. For the finest in men's fashion, Tom's Place will suit you. Located in Toronto at 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Or visit toms-place.com.